We are here to discuss some of the work that is done in the LLC office. I am Ruth DeLacy, and I am here with Phil Germu, who is the Publications Director here at the LLC office. Back in January, we had a Publications Coordinator and Bookstore Agents workshop. And Phil, can you tell us what we learned from that?
Yeah, so workshops as a general thought have always been part of, I think, the work of supporting the workers in God's kingdom. Whether it's been a teacher's workshop, a board member's workshop, maybe all of us have participated to some degree or another, music workshop, song leaders, organist workshops in our local congregations and that. And so these are the same things, is that we're taking those people and inviting them to come to a certain setting. In this case, it was the LLC office, that have duties and assignments in bookstore related items, whether they're bookstore agents or whether they're the publications coordinator for their congregation, and that liaison to the LLC office. And we invited them all to come to the LLC office in January. And during that workshop, and as we've experienced in other workshops, is that the discussion time that they have and that's afforded them in this workshop setting, they start to share ideas about what they're doing in their own congregation. Sometimes they say, that's exactly something I want to take back to my congregation and try to make that work since it works for you. But what's even more magical is when they talk about, this is what we do, this is what we do. Oh, we could try some other thing about a combination of a number of those things. And what happens is that there becomes this extra level of energy and a little bit more of a lighter step in the work. And they become excited to go back with renewed energy to continue to do the work that they've already been doing. When I've been able to personally witness this and see this, it just is so fun to see the energy level that comes from that synergistic effect. When we think about these things and are planning stages of them and says, well, this is what they're asking for, how could we accommodate that? The agenda feels pretty dry, but it doesn't end up, has never ended up being that way. We might take parts of the agenda and we might also adjust it. Like, okay, that's not going to be necessary this afternoon because we're on a good track here. Let's continue that. And that we ask the participants when they come at the beginning, it says, be flexible with this agenda, because our experience has said that you are making a difference here. You are giving us inputs that cause us to want to look at something else, or you're telling us you want to look at something else a little bit different way.
Right, right. And I noticed you use that word magical, and that is exactly what it felt like. But another way to describe that would be the blessings of the work. It just really felt a blessing to be there. And I think we all felt that connection. And, you know, the Holy Spirit was the one that was guiding those discussions.
Yeah, I often use a magical as a word because it's not something that I was ever able to understand. I don't know exactly how it worked to get there. You touched on it very well there. It says the work of the Holy Spirit.
Right, right.
Through much discussion, decisions are made. God's kingdom, the believers come together. They all have the Holy Spirit with them, but the Holy Spirit and God leads and guides those discussions for God's work to continue.
Right, for the furtheration of the work.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's exactly true. So kind of the center around that workshop was about publications, whether it's selling the publications in the bookstore or whether creating and collecting content for those publications. How do you see our publications being used?
Yeah, some of us are very familiar, and most of us are very familiar with the Shepherd's Voice as a young child, as a family. Most of us get The Voice of Zion shows up in our mailboxes once a month, and those are familiar periodicals. I know families sometimes have gone to a digital format because it seems like in this digital age, certainly we can access that. But for some reason that the shepherd's voice and the voice of Zion is something that our children love to touch and hold. And that's such an important thing, is that the children become familiar and comfortable with and be accustomed to and look forward to these publications, the periodicals that show up in their mailbox. And those articles are timeless that are in there. Some are translated from other languages. We share materials with the SRK on a regular basis. It always has been that way. It may be formalized now in a little bit different setting, but I've always seen translated articles in our periodicals. Mm-hmm. That also builds a bridge between our continent and the continent where other believers live. We look forward to the day when we're able to share material with those that are on the African continent or on the Asian continent. You know, today it's not so regular, but we hear news about those things. Those are very interesting things to us, to say that how is God's word spreading? And so that's where I see some of where it might be going in the future too, is that how do we incorporate some of that content later? But it would still be the same content.
Right.
So it's not new content. It's right. Just from a different culture.
And we're finding is that more people worldwide know English than be it Finnish or something else. So they're leaning on that English content.
Kind of makes it a huge responsibility for us to make this available.
Right.
In the
right.
English language.
Right. So our publications can continue to serve long after they're published. Do you have examples of that?
I'll go back to this workshop that we had in January. One of the tasks I was given was to ask the question and kind of lead a discussion on why do our publications matter? So I went to our bookstore and I took some books off the shelf and I just looked at a volume of four volumes, and it's What Do Believers Say? Mm-hmm. And it says, one's Crossing the Current, another one's Fortifying the Foundation, one's A Sheepfold Tender, and one is Weighing the Walk.
And these were editorials in past Voice of Zion's, but were disorganized into four volumes based on the content of the editorial. So yeah, it's reusing content, but go ahead, continue.
Yes,
on.
And that's exactly right. And I've bought these, me and my wife have bought these for engagement gifts, but we've bought the Fortifying the Foundation for those engagement gifts. Mm-hmm. We haven't bought the whole set for them. And so over Christmas 2025, one of our children was there visiting with his family and was explaining to us that we took that book and as a courting couple, we read some of those stories together and then we discussed them. And I thought, well, that's exactly what we were planned, but he wasn't told to do that, but that was something that I planned. But his request was, we benefited from it as a couple so much. A bunch of us young couples would benefit from a congregational discussion that way. So why aren't these used there? And I said, good plan. Take this idea back to your congregation and say, we've benefited from this. Tell them what you just told me. And how can we use these in some congregational discussions that are focused maybe perhaps on the courting couple, for example?
Right.
And that's right. How timeless it is. Right. These weren't published yesterday.
No.
They've been out for probably 20 years. But the editorial was even longer than that.
Right. And there was a few years back when there was a presentation done in a local congregation. And the minister giving that presentation said that, hey, you know what? I am basing my presentation on one of your publications. Would it be possible to have a bunch available for sale that night? And it's like, well, absolutely. So it's the same set of books, this What Do Believers Say? And we have them, had them there individually. We had them there as sets. And we sold out. So I think when reference is made to our publications and people are seeing it, the books sell themselves.
Even when we discussed that at the workshop, all of us kind of had to say, I don't have to protect these in pristine condition and keep them in the perfect spot on the bookshelf. That even in our home, I can let these be out, because they're not doing anybody any good by being on a bookshelf and not being accessed or used.
Right.
Is there another place that I could put these books so that a child at a quiet moment, or even a mom or a dad or grandma, grandpa, might sit down and breeze through it and say, oh, I could just read this real quick and I wonder what this is about, and just read it. Many of them are less than 3-minute reads. All of those things makes it then it's there and it's available and it's to be accessed. And the encouragement came from that workshop. It said, let's take the stuff out of our bookshelf and make it much more available.
One of the comments those bookstore agents made was that, well, I'm not a salesman. I don't want to, you know, have a sales pitch about these. They sell themselves.
Oh, they do. So not only be a supporter of the work, but also being a consumer of the work that's being done.
Right, right.
Use it for ourselves.
Right.
How can I benefit from it? And as a believer, when we're talking about our own personal endeavor of faith, we can be a little bit selfish and say, what's in it for me? Mm-hmm. Because I need this stuff for my own personal walk.
Right.
And it's enriching and it's helping. And as the book says, fortifying the foundation.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And this is only one example of our publications, but there's so many others on the bookshelves. We have some age olds like the Shelter of the Hill. Those stories used to be in the Shepherd's Voice. We have our first believer fiction, Time for Words. And we have other books that have stories with questions on the end to help process what is the story teaching. A good example of that is To the Sea, and many, many other publications.
And one of our most used and probably the most widely used publication that we have is the Church Hymnal.
Right.
And the music books that go along with that, the notebooks, the chorale books, those things are all available. And so as our children have grown up to become parents, and now they have children, they're accessing the same materials that we had that helps them in their endeavor of faith. So the message hasn't changed.
Right.
Sometimes the delivery and the media in which it's accessed changes. We have so many things available to us in the audio format. And I've found myself being able to get through some of our publications, like, for example, a book on Luther that's recently been put on as an audio part on Hearken. And when I was listening, it ended up kind of giving me kind of a smile on my face. Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm understanding a little bit better.
Yeah, and it serves a whole other demographic, so the ones that are not able to read anymore or can't read or English comes easier to them verbally than reading, and yeah, it just continues to serve.
But again, what also brought a smile is not a new message.
Correct.
It's the same message, and I just get to access it different ways, in my car or as I'm sitting in that home reading or listening to the piano, all those different ways.
Right, right. Yeah,
so it's enriching to the believer, and that's no mistake. God's word is so rich that it served yesterday. It's serving today. And we have that faith that it'll continue to serve us forever based on our previous experience.
Right, right. Well, I've enjoyed this conversation, Phil. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ruth.